This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. The copyright for this article belongs to the authors and is openly released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License. International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 19, Number 5, November 2018. The title of this article is The Inherent Tensions of Instant Education, A Critical Review of Mobile Instant Messaging. The authors of this article are Christoph Pimmer of the University of Applied Sciences and Arts, Northwestern Switzerland FHNW, and Patient Ramb of the Central University of Technology, Bloemfontein, South Africa. Abstract. This paper critically reviews literature on the role of mobile instant messaging applications, such as WhatsApp, in supporting learning and teaching practice, using formal qualitative synthesis as its methodology, and dialectical theory as an analytical framework. Our main objective was to identify tensions, affordances, constraints, and resolution strategies in educational uses of MIM. In contrast to prior work, the analysis offers a nuanced and complex picture of the use of MIM in learning and teaching settings. Instead of facilitating the creation of educational outcomes in a straightforward manner, the realities of MIM use are socially constructed and the subject of conflictual negotiations. The educational use of MIM requires users to navigate the interdependent dialectical tensions of immediacy versus delays, intimacy versus detachment and task versus ludic orientation. The findings also reveal a number of behavioral and technical resolution strategies that users deploy to manage these tensions. Keywords: instant messaging, mobile instant messaging, educational technology, mobile learning, social media, dialectical theory, introduction, MIM and education. The use of mobile instant messaging applications such as WhatsApp, Snapchat, iMessage, KakaoTalk, and WeChat has grown tremendously in the last 5 years and presents a dominant mode of contemporary communication. For example, MIM application WhatsApp is rated as the third most popular social media platform after Facebook and YouTube. Contemporary MIM applications typically allow for both real-time and asynchronous communication. Their key features are alert mechanisms such as pop-ups, sounds, or vibration that immediately notify users of incoming messages. Surprisingly, relatively little is known about the role of instant messaging in learning and teaching. A few authors reviewed instant messaging before its proliferation on mobile platforms. For example, Quan Haas noted in her review of university students' IM behavior that they used these platforms predominantly for social purposes, that is, maintaining and nurturing distant and proximate social ties. Interestingly, in this early and non-mobile focused analysis, several tensions came to the fore, which included students' improper writing while using IM and the detrimental effects of distraction and multitasking on their academic performance. The use of IM on mobile devices is under-researched. The only systematic review of MIM research is Tang and Hughes. However, what is frequently acknowledged in the literature is MIM's ability to foster various forms of social presence in educational settings, and its informal use alone points to its relevance as part of students' personal learning environments. MIM's value in enabling knowledge development and cognitive outcomes in more formal education settings is less conclusive. In their review, Tang and Hugh identified only a very small number of robust studies in educational settings. Of these 7 studies, 5 showed positive outcomes and 2 showed no or even negative knowledge effects. However, similar to Quan Haas's observations in her IM review, Tang and Hugh identified a number of challenges. These included improper use of language, intrusion in private life, and irrelevant, inappropriate, and incoherent conversations. In this sense, IM and MIM have mixed effects and their use is associated with a number of tensions, ambiguities, and opposing characteristics that can alternately support and hinder students' academic work. Theoretical framework. To systematically uncover and understand these tensions, we use dialectical theory as an analytical framework because it is centered on understanding opposing dynamics. Dialectical perspectives originate from Baxter and Montgomery's dialectical theory. Its original focus was to study the dynamics of contradictions and their resolution in social relationships. such as the dialectical struggle between the relational opposites of being together versus being independent in a romantic relationship. These opposites cannot be seen as mutually exclusive either-or choices, but, in the sense of a resolution, require the partners to address both simultaneously. This is not a one-time decision, but rather manifests as a continuous and ongoing process of negotiation. Beyond interpersonal relationships, dialectical approaches have been used to describe affordances and constraints of information technology. Broadly speaking, the notion of affordances does not describe physical or functional properties of a technology, but, from a user perspective, the range of perceived possibilities of what the objects could be used for. In contrast, constraints are widely viewed as the ways in which technology users are held back from achieving a specific goal. Integrating these concepts with the theory of dialectical tensions, Gibbs, Rossetti, and Eisenberg studied how the affordances of social media created tensions among distributed workers of an engineering division. Instead of simply increasing open communication and knowledge sharing, the use of social media prompted employees to manage dialectical tensions between visibility and invisibility, engagement and disengagement, and sharing and control. In the field of technology-enhanced learning, dialectical approaches have seen only limited use. Perhaps the most prominent example is activity theory, which Engstrom and Sonnino conceive as dialectic in that the implementation of technology in a system produces contradictions that stem from sociocultural tensions, and which can be identified and addressed using their activity system model. However, although activity theory, particularly elements of Engstrom and Sonnino's model such as subjects, rules, and community, are popular in educational technology research, the ideas of contradictions and tensions from Engstrom and Sonnino's model are less commonly used. Dialectical approaches have also been used implicitly, for example in the concept of technological ambivalence, which has been used to describe tensions between the collaborative use of social media and the pressure that it generates to work individually and privately at the same time. The use of dialectical theory is also related to what Selwyn refers to as the critical study of educational technology. Broadly speaking, mainstream research in educational technology tends to conceive of digital technology as either a neutral, decontextualized, and value-free medium that produces certain educational outcomes, or as a space that favors a particular educational direction, an approach called soft determinism. In contrast, critical approaches do justice to the complex, compromised, constrained, and often conflicting realities of educational technology use, which is socially constructed and negotiated rather than predetermined. Approach and methods. Research question and literature search. What follows from the initial literature review from above is that the proliferation of MIM, while being potentially beneficial for learning and teaching, brings about considerable tensions and contradictions that need to be better understood. Accordingly, we formulated the following research question. What are the dialectical tensions in the educational use of mobile instant messaging, and what strategies do users apply to navigate and resolve these tensions? The goal of this research was thus not a systematic review of the effects of MIM, which has been carried out elsewhere. Instead, we sought to better understand and conceptualize the underlying and opposing dynamics in the form of dialectical tensions by conducting a critical review. To build our arguments on a solid foundation, we conducted a systematic literature search using the databases SickInfo, ERIC, Ovid, Medline, and Web of Science. We searched for the key term mobile instant messaging, as well as names of applications. In the Web of Science database, we refined the results by using the research area education and educational research. We also carried out selective searches in Google Scholar and back, searched the reference sections of the articles we identified through those selective searches for further literature. We then reviewed abstracts using four main criteria. We retrieved and analyzed only the articles that met these criteria. Table 1. Eligibility criteria for studies. Data analysis. 21 studies met our criteria for inclusion. To make sense of the predominantly qualitative research data in this emerging field of educational research, we used thematic analysis as our methodological approach to formal qualitative synthesis. In studies employing qualitative synthesis, findings are systematically interpreted through a series of expert judgments to represent the meaning of the collected work. Thematic analysis involves repeated reading and analysis of texts and the identification of key themes and concepts across diverse studies. Here, we identify dialectical tensions, that is, themes that contradicted or opposed one another. and associated affordances, constraints, and resolution strategies by reading and rereading the literature. The method was inductive in that individual tensions were not derived from previous literature but were identified directly from the data. However, the concepts of tensions, affordances, constraints, and resolution strategies were derived from the theory of dialectical tensions. In other words, while the analysis of the content was inductive, the methods were applied in a deductive manner. By identifying dialectical tensions through an interpretive review, we construed an analytical layer that extended beyond the themes described in the individual studies. Per Behrman and Dawson's recommendations, the authors iteratively discussed emerging findings, and diverging interpretations were resolved upon discussion. Sample characteristics. In Table 2, we briefly summarize the key characteristics of the sample. Table 2, designs, tools, and settings of MIM studies. Results. Three central pairs of oppositions emerged in the analysis of the data: immediacy versus delays, intimacy versus detachment, and task versus ludic orientation. These are summarized in Table 3, which presents the affordances and constraints associated with these tensions, as well as the strategies that learners and educators applied to resolve them. Table 3, overview of tensions, affordances, constraints, and resolution strategies. Immediacy versus delays. Timing communication. The communicative tension that learners and educators need to negotiate is situated on the continuum between immediacy and delays. This tension is rooted in the capacity of MIM to allow for near-to synchronous communication as well as asynchronous and delayed communication. Immediacy. One of the most salient qualities of instant messaging is its enablement of ad hoc and real-time learning conversations, which are facilitated by visual, acoustic, and tactile alerts. Accordingly, many studies emphasized the affordances of MIM to provide instantaneous learning communications, stressing an added value, which is rather logistic than pedagogic. These logistical qualities included quick access to educator and peer assistance. As illustrated in this student statement, the use of a WhatsApp group alerts you to ideas from classmates instantly. This was deemed to be particularly important in work-based learning settings, where learners received immediate advice from their tutors in solving more complex problems. The mixed method case study of Ramb and Bear emphasized the use of MIM to provide South African IT students with prompt feedback in question-based consultations from peers and lecturers, which helped them solve problems and discuss academic issues. Groups of students from an educational technology course that used the MIM application Kakao Talk to solve pedagogical problems reported that the application provided opportunities to arrange ad hoc learning conversations and to facilitate communication among distributed students. These students were contrasted with groups who used desktop applications and who found it difficult to schedule a time when all team members could log into their PCs. In addition to logistical benefits, Timmis identified the cotemporality of MIM-based learning conversations as a relevant mediator for the development of joint goals and actions and a shared understanding. Although immediacy was considered an advantage in learning and teaching settings, it also created pressures on learners and educators to respond quickly. In this sense, instant education not only allows but demands immediate responses. For example, Bounick and Deschen described students' expectations that educators would be available 24/7. Another demand for immediacy in their study was voiced by educators who reported correcting mistakes as soon as they occurred to prevent them from striking roots and spreading in the digital spaces. Delays. Immediate responses were often not possible due to situational and technical constraints, and users were required to balance their communication continuously between immediate and delayed responses. In other words, a considerable number of learning conversations were interrupted by users who dropped in and out, and who sometimes took up conversations after short breaks but other times after several hours. Interrupted educational discourse was described as annoying in some studies. Learners were often concerned about lack of immediate feedback from their instructors or frustrated with their unavailability during certain times. In contrast, asynchronous features that allowed users to retrieve messages at a later point in time also created benefits. Ramb and Bear observed that delayed participation afforded multiple and temporally distributed interaction modes and thus widened the opportunities for student involvement. Delays also allowed for a deeper reflection on peers' ideas. For example, one of Aburazek and Ishtewa's participants described how access to past conversations encouraged critical engagement and reflection. Furthermore, I had to access previous discussions on WhatsApp platform to review some ideas before formulating my final answer. It is burdensome, but it is beneficial. The ambivalent ways in which learners perceive the interplay of immediacy and delays to create a different sense of connectedness is illustrated by a student who characterized the communication patterns of their group on KakaoTalk by using the seemingly contradictory statements of all day long versus short time, which nicely showcases the perceived duality of communication practice. I think our team discussed the topic all day long because we talked whenever we are available, although it's short time. Resolution strategies. In balancing the poles of immediacy versus delays, different behavioral and technical resolution strategies were developed and deployed. To keep conversations fluent, learners were asked to respond to instructor and peer questions within a given period of time, or as quickly as possible. Teachers also sought to adhere to reasonable response times. Moreover, lecturers developed schedules with sessions dedicated to synchronous discussions and information exchange as another approach to promoting immediate interaction. In contrast, and as a means to develop temporal distance, educators also reported deliberately delaying their answers, answering flexibly, and defining specific times to respond to learners' questions. To do so, they used technical measures that included muting the alert signals in their MIM applications, intimacy versus detachment, negotiating social relationships. The second duality spans the continuum of intimacy versus detachment, that is, social proximity versus distancing oneself from the educational community. Intimacy. The observation that MIM affords high levels of intimacy, especially in contrast to other social media such as social network sites, was a predominant theme in many of the cited studies. MIM use was found to be conducive to the development of intimate, affective, and emotional learning spaces, even in anonymous tutoring services. For example, Bownick and Deschen highlighted in their qualitative study that the advantages of WhatsApp groups reside in nurturing the social atmosphere and improving interpersonal relationships between educators and students. The high school teachers they interviewed felt that they would get to know their students better and learn about what bothers them, what helps them. Similarly, Castrillo et al. Found several indicators of the development of group solidarity in their discourse analysis of WhatsApp-based language learning, including the reduction of social distance and the declaration of group membership. Kim et al. Also identified emotional closeness as a key construct in their qualitative analysis. The facilitation of social proximity was deemed to be especially relevant in settings where learners suffered from professional isolation, such as the in-service teachers in Gachago et al.'s South African study. The association between the co-construction of intimacy and MIM use was also identified in informal, student-only conversations. Timmis observed that the intimacy and affective behavior that were nourished by shared history and co-produced social relations were nearly exclusively found in MIM use and not in the use of other digital communication tools. Feelings of intimacy and closeness were, in part, rooted in the perception of MIM platforms as a personal space that afforded the use of informal language. As a student in Bear's study commented, "On WhatsApp I am free to express myself in any way, meaning that street language is acceptable and the platform is very informal." This feeling was particularly evident in comparison with the formal language tied to the use of traditional learning management systems. However, in Bownick and Deschen's study, while learners tended to associate the day-to-day language used in instant messaging with intimacy and closeness, some educators felt challenged by their students' informal ways of expression, raising questions about whether to intervene. And, if so, how often? Detachment. In opposition to intimacy, users and educators also perceived the use of MIM as an intrusion into their personal lives. While intrusive communication patterns did not present a burden to all users, as one educator commented, "I allowed my private space to be invaded but I did not mind." Many studies revealed users' need for detachment from increasingly ubiquitous learning communities. One reason that triggered users' needs for detachment were discussions that reached into time they perceived as personal. For example, Bear and Ramb observed that twice as many interactions took place between 6 and 11 p.m. than during the day. Moreover, and in contrast to the pull mechanisms of classic learning environments in which learners decide when and how to engage, the push messages associated with MIM use were perceived to be intrusive. Intrusion also manifested in terms of inappropriate content, perhaps most dramatically in the South African Dr. Math project, in which online tutors received numerous sexual propositions from pupils in the anonymous conversations. The tension between intimate conversations and the need for withdrawal was especially observed in more mature learners and in teachers, especially if they had many groups to moderate and if conversations took place during late hours. However, Some learners also criticized that other users' detachment was too pronounced, especially for the ones with very limited participation. Resolution strategies. Some users managed the tensions of intimacy and detachment by implicitly restricting their conversation times to office schedules or to prearranged conversation times. This strategy is not only reflective of users' need to distance themselves from the learning community but also discloses the perception of MIM-based learning activities as explicit and formal educational practices. Intimacy and detachment were also managed by the selection of digital channels. For example, Timmis observed that students tended to use separate spaces for their university and private communications to maintain these pre-established boundaries. Another way to protect the privacy of learners and educators was the establishment of guidelines and sanctions. In the Dr. Math project, the tutors were not allowed to reveal any information regarding their age, sex, and location. Students were also warned and even removed from the system if they used inappropriate language. As an additional control, textual conversations were recorded and spot-checked by administrators. Task versus ludic orientation, managing the depth of intellectual engagement. The third tension that was reinforced through the educational appropriation of MIM and that needed to be addressed by learners and educators was the opposition between task orientation, in the sense of focused cognitive or metacognitive reasoning, and ludic orientation, a less profound intellectual engagement that resembles forms of playing and socializing. Task orientation. A number of the studies we examined reported focused learning in MIM spaces, mostly based on conversation analysis and interviews. For example, in their content analysis, Ramb and Bear identified critical engagement with learning resources. This finding was corroborated through post-surveys, in which the majority of students associated the academic use of WhatsApp with knowledge creation and deep reflection. In Kim et al.'s study, students deemed MIM conversations to allow for sufficient time to review the contributions of other learners and to provide thoughtful feedback, especially compared with face-to-face discussions. Even in peer-to-peer learning settings not prescribed by educators, students engaged in MIM to discuss content and task-related issues, for example carrying out mathematical calculation exercises. In some studies, focused engagement resulted in enhanced levels of cognition and knowledge, as highlighted in Tang and Hughes' review. One example is So's experimental work, which examined the effects of a WhatsApp group used to provide short multimedia materials and to facilitate interaction between learners and the lecturer in addition to classroom-based lectures. The intervention group scored significantly higher in the post-test compared with the control group, which used WhatsApp only for administrative purposes. Ludic orientation. In contrast to promoting cognitive and metacognitive learning activities, considerable parts of the conversations in other studies tended to be less focused, involving socializing and playing. The tension was especially evident in Gachago et al.'s study, where, despite the efforts of the educator to keep the conversations strictly academic, the space became increasingly social. Aburazek and Ishtewa noted that in their study nearly half of all postings had fewer than 20 words and were based on brief and quick interactions rather than on reflective, critical, or deep thoughts. Kim et al. Affirmed these tendencies towards playfulness and socializing in the quantitative content analysis of their mixed method study. They found that MIM groups were associated with higher levels of social and effective communication and with fewer cognitive and metacognitive interactions compared with the bulletin board groups. Their qualitative analysis indicated a lack of recursive and convergent utterances, with some of the learners in the MIM groups tending to simply state their opinions without reviewing or considering others' posts. One reason offered for this tension is the implementation in formal education settings of a private tool that is often used for hedonic purposes. One learner characterized WhatsApp as a toy for socializing and having fun. It is not for learning. In addition, learners underlined the distractive potential of MIM due to its tempting proximity to other entertaining mobile phone applications, such as social network sites. Another reason for these extraneous conversations lies in learners' ubiquitous use of MIM. Instead of concentrating on the learning activity, MIM is embedded in everyday life, and the associated multitasking is likely to result in a less focused cognitive engagement. As this student suggests, these days I can easy, sick, post and get answers on WhatsApp even when I am shopping if I see or hear anything confusing related to my studies. The educational implications of messages with playful and socializing content were perceived ambiguously. In part, messages that were not directly relevant to education were criticized by learners and deemed by educators to be upsetting. However, drawing on content analysis, Some authors observed that playful and extraneous discussions, albeit lacking strong intellectual qualities, can be viewed as a necessary social immersion in the productive use of meme and can thus lay a foundation for its more intellectual use. Similarly, Timmis, who found significant indicators for playfulness and social easing in her discourse analysis, concluded that the creation and maintenance of a shared social experience is a relevant component of collaborative learning. Resolution strategies. Behavioral resolution strategies that educators used to strike the balance between ludic and task orientation, and particularly, to orient learners towards a more focused and productive engagement, were the development of specific posting requirements and evaluation criteria. In a Burazek and Ishtewa's interview study, learners' messages were required to reflect the course content and include new ideas, reflections, opinions, and critical thinking beyond mere description or summary. Learners in this study found the established criteria relevant and tied them to deeper levels of reflection and critical thinking. As a technical strategy, educators in Gachago et al.'s study flagged key discussions with emoticons. This allowed learners who did not participate in the social easing discussions, and who accessed WhatsApp only occasionally, to review the content and identify central information in an efficient manner. Discussion. Our review and analysis of the literature has revealed a nuanced picture of the use of meme in learning and teaching settings. By describing the conflicting dynamics of educational use of meme, it adds to prior work which simply conceives the affordances of meme to be temporal, user-friendly, minimal cost, and multi-modality features and which explains its conveniences permitting users to easily chat with peers or teachers anytime and anywhere they prefer. In contrast, our findings suggest that instead of learning in a convenient and straightforward manner, both learners and educators need to navigate dialectical tensions that relate to time, relationship, and intellectual depth. This research has shown how the idiosyncrasy of meme shapes, affords, and confines the ways in which learning and teaching play out, and, in the same way, how educational benefits are realized. What follows is that, despite the perception of meme platforms as hugely popular low-threshold applications, meme is not easily implemented in more formal learning and teaching settings. The effective navigation of tensions and opposing forces identified in this study requires users to develop a new set of skills that reaches far beyond the technical aspects of using mobile devices and applications. Balancing issues of timing, managing social distance, and weighing task against ludic engagement necessitates competencies that are not considered in classic media literacy definitions that typically incorporate the access, analysis, evaluation, and creation of content. The skills to manage these tensions in the use of meme spaces do not only play out at an individual level but need to be negotiated and calibrated collectively, which can be a complex and conflictual process. For example, Pimmer, Mhango, Mzumara, and Mvundala found that one of the prevailing challenges in the use of WhatsApp groups was the ongoing negotiation and reconciliation of users' divergent expectations regarding social versus task-oriented use of the space. What complicates this process further is that the poles which create these tensions are neither valuable nor damaging by themselves. Instead, they have unique qualities that cannot be played off against one another. In contrast with the broader field of mobile learning, in which instructionist, transmissive, and non-conversational educational approaches have prevailed to date, the main route for learning and teaching in the meme settings we reviewed was centered on social interaction. Given its strong capacity to develop and maintain a social presence in learning and teaching settings, meme can be especially valuable in contexts in which the development, strengthening, and maintenance of social ties is central. As in the initial phase of online learning described in Salmon's 5-step model of e-moderation, according to Salmon, at this stage, moderators should familiarize students with the online environment through socialization and provide bridges between sociocultural aspects of offline and online learning environments in ways that increase familiarity with peers and reduce social distance among them. Beyond a sequential perspective, social easing can be conceived as an inherent part of effective learning itself. This is reflected, for example, in the social presence dimension of the community of inquiry theory, and, even more so, in the participation metaphor, in which the main root of learning is understood as growing into a community of practice. Our study on the educational use of meme technologies suggests several directions for future research. Our findings represent a snapshot in time. The rapid transformation of meme technology and associated communication practices alone necessitate further research. For example, Calling and voice notes are new functionalities that were recently added to a number of MIM applications, but which have not been addressed in the corpus of studies we examined. Another area that requires further exploration is the professionalization of MIM-based tutoring. A recent BBC report describes an emerging tutoring industry based on WhatsApp-style instant messaging environments. They highlight the example of SnapAsk, which connects about 5,000 tutors with 100,000 students from Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Singapore. Students raise questions and the software matches them immediately with a tutor for an instant learning session. From a methodological perspective, the current body of literature consists primarily of qualitative research, some descriptive quantitative investigations, and a very limited number of studies that incorporate experimental designs. We thus agree with Tang and Hu that there is an obvious need for more rigorous quantitative research designs that more systematically and rigorously compare, for example, the differences between MIM and other communication modes. However, in line with dialectical theory, we argue that there is also a need for more thick and rich descriptions, which further our understanding of the dialectical dynamics, especially how, in the course of MIM use, the relationship between oppositional forces may change. This could, for example, play out in the sense of a helical model, whereby the response to one dialectical pole creates pressure to attend to the opposite pole and, in consequence, the relationship pair cycles back and forth over time but never reaches precisely the same place as before. Applied to MIM, this can be addressed, for example, by an examination that explores how the relationship between ludic and task orientation changes over time. Conclusions. This study has sought to contribute to the conceptualization of a more fine-grained understanding of the conflicting and negotiated realities of the use of MIM in learning and teaching settings. One of its main contributions is the establishment of a framework that shows how the educational affordances and constraints of MIM unfold in the ways in which learners and educators navigate the dialectical tensions of immediacy versus delays, intimacy versus detachment, and task versus ludic orientation. This framework might not only help readers to make sense of learning in current mobile instant messaging environments, but it could also help to inform our understanding about the emerging practice of ubiquitous messaging. As several large tech companies are in the process of offering unified mobile and desktop messaging applications. Moreover, the dialectical theory of Baxter and Montgomery proved a helpful framework with which to critically analyze and problematize the use of educational technology, an approach that might also help scholars in the exploration of other fields of technology-enhanced learning. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website. www.irodul.org. Goodbye.